episode 18, alongside my co-host for at least one more week, Dave.
That's me.
That's Dave. I'm Ryan. Of course, our podcast is the podcast that every week endeavors to answer the question, why did the Eagles and Vultures attack? That is our tagline for this week. It is a movie that we talked about a couple times last week, and it's actually the better of the two taglines that were listed on IMDb.
It's a terrible tagline, yes. Especially because the question doesn't get answered in the movie.
No, it doesn't. But here's hoping that the second movie will answer the tagline posed by the first question.
All those open questions that the first one left.
Absolutely. If you think you do know what the movie in question could be, you can email us at moviesonup@gmail.com, or you can go right to our website, moviesonup.com, where you can click on our Facebook link, go over to our Facebook page, put it on there somewhere. I don't really know how Facebook works. Or you can tweet us at moviesonup. I think those are probably the three best ways to get us your guess for our tagline contest. If you get it correct, if anyone gets it correct, and we like you, we're going to put together some kind of a prize package and mail it out to you. Spoiler alert, part of that prize package is going to include probably some kind of a button with our logo on it, which right now could use a little help. So if you are graphically inclined in the least bit, feel free to reach out to Dave through any of the means that I just said, moviesonup@gmail.com, Facebook, or @moviesonup on the Twitter. If you can help us out, redesign our logo, we'd be very much appreciative of that. If I don't even know if that's a word, we will appreciate you for doing so. And that could probably earn you a prize pack as well. If you help redesign our logo, I'll give you a button or whatever else I choose to put that logo on. So please don't charge us for it, because I don't want to have to break your legs and be sued for copyright infringement.
Yeah.
Are you still with us, Dave?
Yeah, I'm here. I was looking up something so that I'm ready to talk when it's my turn.
I thought you just went on break week early.
This week's show, we have some news about The Hobbit, Ryan Gosling, Batman again, maybe. We're skipping trailers because we're going to give a deep, in-depth look at our fall preview.
Get real deep into fall.
We're going balls deep in the falls.
I was thinking elbow deep in the fall.
So we're going to fist the shit out of fall. We did a summer preview, and it was fun. So we're doing a fall preview. Yeah, it was fun to do. I don't know if you guys listened to it. But so we're going to do a fall preview. Going to go from September through December, weekend by weekend, to let you know what's coming up.
Before we get too far into that, there were a couple movies that came out this past week, one of which both of us were pretty excited about the possibility of seeing. I don't think either of us saw it. And that was Lawless. We set the over-under at $25 million for this one.
I thought 25 was the best-case scenario, and I thought that it wouldn't even happen except for Wednesday through Monday. Nowhere close. I don't know what the deal is with this. It came in second place with $10 million. $12 million total since Wednesday. It was $10 million over the weekend, $12 if you include Wednesday and Thursday. So not too hot of a start there.
No, I think this was a weird weekend.
This was a super weird weekend because The Possession, we were going off of The Apparition, which kind of
was terrible.
We
predicted doom
week.
And gloom for this movie.
So The Possession, we put
$3 million.
We put $3 million. It took the weekend at $17.7 million.
We both said over, so we were right.
We both said over. A $14 million budget.
Yep, there you go.
It made its budget back in that first week.
And look forward to seeing The Possession 2 sometime next year.
Yeah, and whether it'll have holding power or staying power, it's not probably not going to look good. But, it's a strong opening weekend.
Much stronger than we thought it was going to be, yeah.
Way overperformed. So to round out the top five, The Expendables held number one for two straight weeks. It came in third with $8.9 million. The Bourne Legacy, $7.3 million for fourth. And Paranorman with $6.5 million for fifth. The Expendables 2, that puts them $67 million. And The Bourne Legacy should hit $100 million by the end of the week. It sits at $95 or $96 right now. We touched on it last week, 2016 Obama's America. Brought in another $5.6 million for ninth place. It's made $18.6 million so far, which puts it in the top five of political documentaries that just passed capitalism, Michael Moore's capitalism. So that people still seeing that for whatever reason. Big hits for last week's new releases that barely even opened in the top 10. Hit and Run opened at 10 last week. It fell to 12 with another 2.5 million. But it's at over 10 million on a $2 million budget. Premium Rush fell from 8th to 11th with another 3.9 million. It only sits at 12 million after 2 weeks. And The Apparition just fell even further. Didn't even pull a million in this week. Only brought in 635. But speaking of miserable failures, well, first, before I get to that, For a Good Time Call, which looks fantastic, it opened on 23 screens to 143,000. So that's respectable, $6,000 per screen. Not fantastic, but not bad. If you want to go bad, we have History this week.
History.
Until this weekend, Delgo had the worst opening ever for a movie opening on 2,000 plus screens.
Okay.
When Delgo came out, it opened on 2,160 theaters to $511,920.
And if I could just be the voice of the everyman, what the fuck is a Delgo?
Exactly. That came out December 18th of 2008. It only lasted a week in theaters because its opening weekend was a $237 average.
That's great.
It was Freddie Prinze Jr., J-Love, Burt Reynolds, Val Kilmer. It was a horrible, horrible animated movie. The animation was awful. It took forever to make. It was a big budget. Well, it no longer holds the distinction of having the worst opening weekend ever.
What does?
Oogie Loves and the Big Balloon Adventure also opened in 2,160 screens to $445,000. That gives it a $206 per screen average.
Wow. Yeah, and I think if you listened a couple weeks ago when I put the trailer in there, I think we kind of saw this one coming. It looked atrocious.
Yeah. It opened on Wednesday also. $671,000 between Wednesday and today. $20 million budget.
Wow.
Yeah. So it didn't even crack a million. It's $200 per screen. It's going to be out of theaters by Wednesday, probably, when these new releases come out. Just to put
Catch it while you can.
Yeah. Just to put it in comparison, like The Apparition was 810 screens, only did 635,000. That was a $784 average. That's poor.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking just over 206 per screen average when your top, you know, even take the 10th place movie, 1900 per. So 200 is really
well,
bad.
Obviously it's historically bad.
Yeah, it's the worst ever. And then just to throw it out there, Brave, Disney re-released Brave and the Avengers, re-released them
for this weekend.
Yeah. And they didn't do that well, but they each, Marvel added another 1.8 million and Brave added another 1.3.
I'm not sure that they really put anything into, hey guys, these movies are going to be back out. I didn't notice it until, I think I read about it Saturday and then I saw it, I went to see The Expendables yesterday and I saw on the marquee that, oh, Avengers is back. That's nice.
Yeah, they didn't really promote it.
No, not at all.
I saw one or two TV spots for Avengers.
Yeah.
So that was the box office for this week. So congrats, Oogie Loves. Or more so, I guess, congrats, Delgo.
I guess, yeah, Delgo's off the hook. And if you're going to suck, you might as well suck completely because nobody's going to know what the Oogie Loves is, except for now it's just the worst performing film ever.
And I mean, I think the preview for this, we talked about it, where it opens and says, from the marketing genius behind the Teletubbies.
Yeah.
I think you can take that title away from them now.
I think so. I think a lot of people are going to lose some titles after this one.
Yeah.
But God bless them. Expecting some better things from The Hobbit. We have all the release dates and all the titles for the three movies that is going to be now. The first one, still titled Unexpected Journey, still will be out on December the 14th of this year. And this is where things get a little bit different. The second film will now be titled The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. That'll be out on December 13th of 2013. The final movie is called The Hobbit, There and Back Again. That was supposed to be the title of the second movie, which was also supposed to be the second of two. But now, since there's three, a little bit of a title shift there. And we will see the last one. It won't take a full year to get from two to three. We'll see that in July 13th of 2014. All three of the movies are going to be released in 2D, 3D, IMAX, and 3D 48 frames per second.
The summer release on the third one, that's risky to me. That's, you don't see that a lot. Usually you see the whole year. Like, Lord of the Rings were all three Christmases in a row. Star Wars were all, what, three Mays in a row?
No, there was a couple years between.
Well, yeah. But, no, you don't, The Matrix and Kill Bill are the only ones I can remember being, like, 6 months apart.
Yeah.
It worked, I guess, okay for Kill Bill, but it didn't for The Matrix.
I mean, it was filmed. I mean, they were all filmed together. They're filmed as one big movie. So to space them out a year between, there's no reason to do that except to try and build anticipation. I think that it's kind of a novel idea to say, well, you know what? We have all these done. Let's give it 6 months to make as much money as it can, give it a real nice run in the theater, and then we'll hit the next one, you know, strike while the iron's hot, I think. I keep trying to get that saying right. I don't know if I ever
do.
I mean, it
makes sense, because it is. I could see it doing well in the summer.
Definitely.
But it's just weird when they do that for me, when you could lock down three Decembers. He's getting a lot of backlash. Peter Jackson gets a lot of backlash. For a lot of people think this could be... The Hobbit is shorter than Fellowship of the Ring, and he's getting three movies out of it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are giving him backlash on... A lot of people didn't even want two movies of it.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. But even Fellowship, the first movie, didn't get you to the end of the book.
No.
And there were other things that he's putting into The Hobbit that didn't make the book.
I mean, I'm all for it. I'm all for it because he built this universe of Middle Earth. Mm-hmm. Like, he brought it to life. I'll see it more.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get six movies out of it. I'm not going to complain about six movies as opposed to four.
Yeah, me either. I mean, I know the story. I know how it ends. I read the book. So it's not like I'm going to have to wait 2 years to find out what happens to Bilbo, whether or not he dies. I mean, seriously? I guess people just want to complain. Lots of people were complaining about this next movie, and I think we were... among them. Not exactly a shell shocker here. A Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles script leaked, and Peter Laird, the creator of the Turtles, thinks that it sucks. Michael Bay went on to say that, hey, let's back off. This was an old script that was trashed long before he and his Platinum Dunes cronies came on board. One thing that I did read, I didn't see the script, but apparently if you've got sharp eyeballs and you take a look, the script is dated January 30th of this year. And he got involved 2 years ago.
It's on the top of every page of the script.
Okay, so you didn't need to look that closely.
I did get a hold of the script. It's on the January 30th, 2012 is on the top of every page of the script. Everything he said about the script leading up to now, he said something about Rocksteady and Bebop are in it. He said something about the aliens are like an intergalactic or interdimensional like alien race.
The turtles are aliens.
The turtles,
aliens.
That's what I mean. That's everything he said.
Is in this script.
Is in this script. The script is terrible. The script is...
You read it?
I did read it.
Oh, you silly bastard.
The script is absolutely dreadfully terrible for so many reasons. The turtles are 6'5". There's 6'5 in it. There's no Shredder. It's General Schrader, who happens to be a mutant from the other dimension that can grow blades out of his skin. April and Casey
are like
18-year-olds that are moving to New York. They're dating. Casey is more centered than April. Rocksteady and Bebop are accurate. It's terrible. Like,
no,
it's,
are Rocksteady and Bebop aliens too?
They're from the other dimension. It's an interdimensional thing where Krang is trying to get the Technodrome over to this dimension so he can fuel up to get back to the other dimension to wipe out the entire turtle race. And really, Earth isn't really at risk. Like, because
they don't care about Earth.
He's not coming. Yeah, he's not coming to invade Earth. He's coming to fuel up here. It'll cause earthquakes and some natural disasters. That's it. Yeah, I mean, it's. I could go. We could do a whole episode about this script. It's
Let's
terrible.
Not.
No, I know. Okay. That's why I'm stopping myself, because I could keep going. It's terrible. Just the fact that the turtles are 6'5". That's all you need to know.
I guess you can take, there's enough in there that'll piss you off. Just pick your favorite thing. Like, I mean, I the fact that they're aliens kind of sucks. I'm not a big fan of that. But, you know, there again, like you said, these were things that had been leaking out before the script hit, that was going to be a part of this Michael Bay movie. And then he said, oh, no, we trashed all that shit. But here it is from January.
One clever thing that's come out of it, though, is the Nerdpocalypse. They're friends of the show. They're a nerd-themed podcast out of Baltimore. They've been calling it, instead of TMNT, they've been calling it Taint. Teenage Alien Intergalactic Mutant Ninja Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles, yeah.
So it works out to Taint, which I thought was clever and wanted to give them a shout-out for that.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that this movie is going to be about as useful as a Taint.
I'm thinking it's going to get shelved. I really do.
I hope so. And that's essentially what Laird said.
Because it's supposed to
forget all about it.
It's supposed to come out in May. The production is still
halted. I think they started, yeah.
Yeah, so I can't see it hitting the screens in 9 months.
Well, the hell with that. Shelf this. Shelf that movie. I want to see this next one. Ryan Gosling is going to teach Christina Hendricks how to catch a monster. This will be Gosling's debut as a writer/director. Hendricks will star as a single mother of two dealing with a dark fantasy underworld in what I guess we're describing as a suspenseful noir.
It sounds awesome.
It does. It sounds to me a little bit like that Dante movie that we talked about last week, but like this would be a better.
I guess it's got a post-apocalyptic feel. It takes place in a surreal, vanishing city or something. The city's something like that. I like Gosling. I've always liked the choices Gosling makes. I'm interested to see him as writer-director.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
And the fact that it's not a Ryan Gosling like vehicle. It's not he's going to write and direct this movie that stars him.
Exactly.
It's got a female center, mm-hmm. and he got Christina Hendricks to do it.
Yeah, I think it's really neat, and I'm surprised. I am a little bit surprised that this kind of genre would be, you know, what he chooses to write about and to make his directorial debut. I guess it wouldn't be what I would have assumed he would have chosen, but I don't know the guy.
I've read that he's a big fantasy fan, that he's a big fan of, like, just, like, fairy tale, like, fantasy type stuff.
Well, then I guess to that point, it does make sense that this would be where he would gravitate to. Ron Shelton of Bull Durham, White Men Can't Jump, and Tin Cup fame, clearly gravitating towards the sports movies, and he will pen Week 14, which is the first football movie to be officially backed by the NFL. The story will follow multiple storylines as fictional players, coaches, and their loved ones come down the stretch for the final 3 weeks of an NFL season.
This will be interesting to me because I don't understand what the backing of the NFL, why that's 100% necessary. Because they do try to carry this family-friendly thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you know it's going to have to stay PG-13.
That's what I was going to say.
Can you do realistic football and keep it PG-13? But then you look at, like, he's a solid writer, and it's just, is it worth sacrificing the grittiness of football just to use real team logos and say Super Bowl when you're not even using real player names anyway?
Right.
So, I mean, everything's fictional about it except team names.
Yeah, and I think the fact that it says to be officially sanctioned by the NFL, I mean, in my opinion, like, the best football-related project that I've seen in years was Playmakers, and that got killed by the NFL.
Yes, essentially ESPN canceled it because of the NFL.
Exactly, so as good as that was, as many things as they did right in that, you know none of it is going to be in this movie, which is already a strike against it.
Just like Any Given Sunday, which it was a little over the top, but so was Playmakers.
Sure.
But there was some good stuff in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or movies like, think of any...
The Program. It's not NFL, but...
Any football movie worth watching.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, so I don't know. It'll be interesting. It's going to be weird. But Ron Shelton's talented.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess one strike against it, and maybe this will be able to make up for it. Rumor has it that the next time we see the Batman will be in the Justice League movie with a reboot to follow.
That makes sense. With Batman, it makes sense. Because we know Batman, you don't need an origin story, so you can introduce the new Batman in Justice League and then spin it off into a film.
Right.
I hope that's not the plan with Flash and Wonder Woman and anybody else they want to make a movie about, because yeah. those characters kind of need that introduction. Batman, you don't really need to introduce.
Batman, you don't. Superman, you don't. And we're gonna get the Snyder Superman before then anyway,
which
obviously.
Which may not even go with this.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I've read some stuff that DC might start over from this. So Henry Cavill might not be locked in as Superman in this.
That would be terrible. I mean, I haven't seen him in the new one yet, but I think it would be an absolute mess to restart so soon this project.
Warner Brothers isn't... They're not Marvel in this situation, because if you think about it, during the whole Dark Knight thing, they were putting together the CG Justice League movie.
Yeah.
And that was going to include Batman and come out kind of coinciding with the Dark Knight,
mm-hmm.
but be in a completely different universe. Yeah. So Warner's not, they're not opposed to separating universes. So even if it is a different Superman in the Justice League movie, you could still see a sequel to Man of Steel. With Cavill, which
yeah.
I think is confusing, and I don't think that's the right way to go.
I agree.
But I think that's kind of where their brain is.
Well, I hope that they get that fixed around.
Even something like Green Lantern.
Terrible.
Even the Green Lantern. If you introduce, you know, Hal Jordan in the Justice League movie,
yeah,
I could see that being just rebooted after that.
Yeah.
Because the old one's so... Yeah, start over from the Ryan Reynolds one.
Right.
That's so recent. You don't need to go through the origin again. So
really? You might, because nobody saw that movie.
No, they saw it. They just hated it. Yeah. I mean, you could introduce Batman and Green Lantern in Justice League and then just go from there. But if you want to bring in Flash and Wonder Woman, I think they need their own movies first. I really do.
Lynn Ramsey is eyeing Michael Fassbender to join Natalie Portman in Jane Got a Gun. Mikey is in talks to play Portman's ex-lover, who she calls upon to defend the family farm from a gang looking to kill her now husband.
I don't like Westerns, but I said in our remake special that I like modern updates on Westerns.
Yeah.
And this sounds like that gritty Western story that I kind of like.
It does. Like, instead of a gang, you know, you could easily see a correlation between, like, just a band of outlaws or something like
yeah.
that. Yeah. George Nolfi of the Adjustment Bureau will direct the poorly titled XOXO. Mark Heyman of the Black Swan will provide the script, which can best be described as Fatal Attraction with Facebook.
Yeah, it's just about a young executive, cue Michael Douglas, that has like an affair with a girl on Facebook, but then once the worlds start to collide, it gets deadly. So it literally is just Fatal Attraction with social media work.
It's
in.
Updated now.
Yeah.
Or... You can actually, I'm sure people probably have been in similar situations. Leo DiCaprio, Tobey Maguire, and Tom Hardy teaming up to produce a Traffic-style movie about animal trafficking. The search is currently on for a writer. No director or stars, other than the folks producing it, are attached.
Yeah, and they might not even be in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come down to scheduling. That'd be awesome if all three of them could find a way to be in it.
Yeah, it would.
But, this just kind of shows where Tom Hardy is in his career right now, because this was his idea.
Mm-hmm.
He's got two friends that used to be poachers, and now they're like special forces against. So he just brought up this idea, and then two of the biggest movie stars are like, yeah, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
So they're out shopping for a writer and going to look for a director. It'd be awesome if they can all three get in it. I'd guess at least
even a
one,
small role.
I guess at least one will be in it when all is said and done. So
I would say there's probably a 1 out of 3 chance
yeah.
that one of them will be in it. The Metal Gear movie hits the reset button. Avi Arad, the Spider-Man producer, is going to produce this flick.
I'm not a gamer. Is this relevant still?
There was a Metal Gear that came out, I guess it probably was a couple years ago. Because
I used
point.
To play him, and I like, what was the character's name, Snake or something?
Yeah, Solid
like,
Snake.
He's a cool character, and I guess you could build a franchise around that, but...
Well, and I guess, really, and this could open an entirely different can of worms that I'm really not prepared to discuss right now, but there already was a franchise built around the character. It's called Escape from New York, Escape from L.A. That was the character,
pretty
Snake
much,
Plissken.
Yeah.
So I don't... They don't have an idea of, you know, who would play Snake in this new role. But I think I haven't played through Metal Gear 4 yet. That was, as far as I know, the most recent. But Snake is older than shit in that movie. And I think that if you, you know, were to do a Metal Gear movie with Kurt Russell, he's older than shit now, too. But I think that could work nicely. It's got a hell of a story to it, kind of convoluted. So, you know, I guess we'll have to see what happens with that one. Will Smith going back to the well again, the vampire well, that is. This time he will be the biblical villain Cain in the redemption of Cain.
We talked about a few weeks ago, like, now biblical stories are the gritty reboot of fairy tales.
Right.
Which, the gritty reboots of fairy tales was just like this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just crazy how many things, how fast things change and how terrible most of these are going
to
be.
Will Smith right now is attached. Maybe this whole thing will fall apart. We'll have to see. Fell apart for Hugh Laurie, but hey, man, it's showtime. RoboCop has recast that role. He was signed on to play the villain. That will now be Michael Keaton.
I think that's an upgrade.
I do, too.
Michael Keaton is like a big head, like TV executive as the villain in RoboCop. All right.
Yeah.
I love Keaton. I absolutely love Keaton. And as much as I like Hugh Laurie, Michael Keaton gets me more excited about it than Hugh Laurie does.
Yeah, I mean, I've not seen too much Hugh Laurie in anything, so it's hard for me to say what he could or could not bring to the role. But I have seen Michael Keaton, and I know what he's capable of. And I do think that, you know, if they were to try and go over the top with this character, he would totally be able to do that. And he could even do it understated if need be. So that's our RoboCop update for the week. We seem to do that every week. Something we did a couple weeks ago teased a half-cocked idea that I had about a fantasy film ball league that we're hoping to put together with the help of some listeners. If you guys might be interested in joining our league, I'm going to explain it here in a little bit. But, you know, let us know. Send us an email, moviesonup@gmail.com, or you can tweet at Dave at moviesonup to see if this might be something you're interested in. What I'm thinking about doing is having everybody pick 5 movies that are going to come out between now and the end of the year. It just so happens that we're going to blow through all the movies that are going to come out between now and the end of the year. So keep that in mind as we are reading through these. The scoring, as of right now, is going to work about like this. You're going to get 1 point for every $1 million in domestic gross that your movie makes between its opening through December the 31st. You'll get 5 points for every award nomination that it receives. That's Golden Globes and Academy Awards. We'll just kind of limit it to those two. You'll get 10 points for every win. Again, that's just Golden Globes and the Academy Awards. Dave and I are going to, depending on how things work, going to try and have our 5 movies next week. We're not going to have any crossover on that. Between the two of us, we're going to do it actually fantasy style. So we'll have 10 movies between the two of us. Listeners, doesn't really matter. You guys have a hell of an advantage. You can just kind of wait for Dave and I to tell you what 10 movies we're going to pick. Pick 5 from that, and you'll probably beat our brains in collectively. So that's kind of the idea. Like I said, take a listen as we go through our fall movies. Think about, you know, the movies that you think are going to make the most money and possibly garner the most award nominations, and you know, pick your top 5, send them to us, moviesonup@gmail.com, or get it at us on the Twitter, @moviesonup. We'll put the list together for you, and more than likely, kind of handle the scoring, too. That way I can cheat.
Sounds good.
Without further ado, we'll head into our fall preview. We're going to start it with the movies that come out right here on September the 7th.
Yep, September 7th. Yeah, opening wide, The Words, directed by Brian Klugman and Lee Sternthal, starring Bradley Cooper, Jeremy Irons, Zoe Saldana, and Ben Barnes.
Bradley Cooper is a failing writer. He finds a story that was written by a young Jeremy Irons and claims that he wrote it. Old Jeremy Irons rolls around and says, "Hey man, that's my story. I'm kind of pissed."
Looks terrible. Also, A Bachelorette, directed by Leslie Headland, Kristen Dunst, Lizzie Kaplan, Isla Fisher, Rebel Wilson, all star, along with Adam Scott, Kyle Bornheimer. It's got a bunch of people in this movie.
Bunch of people in it. It's kind of an ensemble cast. Dunst, Kaplan, Fisher attend a bachelorette party and wedding for their fat buddy who they don't appear to like. And, of course, hilarity will definitely ensue.
It's been on video on demand. I enjoyed it more than Bridesmaids.
Oh, well, you didn't like Bridesmaids very much
at all.
I liked
Bridesmaids. Oh, I didn't put it on the pedestal that everybody else did.
Okay.
I mean, I thought they were both funny. I tended to like what was going on in Bachelorette more.
Okay.
You also got The Cold Light of Day, directed by Mabrouk El-Mrouchi, starring Henry Cavill, Superman, Bruce Willis, Sigourney Weaver, and Veronica Echegui.
Henry Cavill's family gets kidnapped during a sailing trip by some government folks that are looking for a briefcase.
Bruce Willis just seems like he's scraping the barrel on most of his projects now.
Playing a government heavy. Played that in Expendables 2 as well.
Hello, I Must Be Going. Directed by Todd Luizo. Starring Melanie Lynskey, Christopher Abbott, Blythe Danner.
A young D4C moves back in with her parents and then proceeds to go all Mrs. Robinson on some young, strapping young man.
I think it looks good. I don't think we talked about the trailer when it came out. These are limited, by the way. I forgot to say that. The Cold Light of Day and this and whatever's next is limited. I think the trailer looks fantastic. We also got The Inbetweeners, directed by Ben Palmer, Simon Bird, James Buckley, Blake Harrison, and Joe Thomas.
Four English lads go on a holiday in Malta and get into all sorts of English spring break type debauchery.
And it's hilarious. It was there. It spawned two seasons of the show and the movie that they want to develop a sequel to. It's been around for a while overseas. It's fantastic. It's funny. The MTV remake of the show.
I was going to say, MTV is kind of...
It's okay. It's better than their Skins remake, but it's funny stuff. Keep the Lights On, directed by Ira Sachs, starring Thur Lindhart, Zachary Booth, Julianne Nicholson, Soleimane Sivan.
We did talk about this one in the trailer, I think it was last week. It's the one about the gay gentlemen's. One of the gentlemen's is on drugs, the other one wants him to quit, and it looks like it's going to be really heavy.
Yeah, very, very heavy. From heavy to creepy, Toys in the Attic, directed by Jerry Barta and Vivian Schilling, starring the voices of Forrest Whitaker, Joan Cusack, and Carrie Elwes.
This is a Czech movie that is finally coming to America. We're redubbing it with those actors that we just mentioned. It's a stop-motion picture about the creepy toys that get left in your attic. There is kind of an evil half-man, half-toy that toy-naps a doll. The good toys go to rescue her, scares the shit out of Dave.
It's a terrifying trailer. Also unlimited on September 7th, Wreck 3, directed by Paco Plaza, starring Leticia Dallara, Diego Martin, Javier Botet, and Alex Moner.
It's Wreck at a Wedding Reception. Get it?
We're moving right on to September 14th after that. Opening wide, Finding Nemo 3D, directed by Andrew Stanton, starring Albert Brooks, Ellen DeGeneres, Alexander Gould, William Dafoe.
It's Finding Nemo in 3D.
Resident Evil Retribution also opens, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, starring Mila Jovovich, Sienna Gilroy, Michelle Rodriguez, and Kevin Durand.
It's essentially Resident Evil greatest hits. They brought back some old characters. The Umbrella Corporation brought them back to try and kill Mila Jovovich. I don't even know if these Resident Evil movies still have zombies in them or not.
I don't even know. 10 Years, directed by Jamie Linden, Channing Tatum, Rosario Dawson, Chris Pratt, and Jenna Dewan Tatum from Step Up 1, married to Channing Tatum.
Indeed, the wife of C. Tates. C. Tates and company partied up the night before their 10-year reunion and relived some past romances and probably some other stuff, too.
And limited on September 14th, The Master, directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, Joaquin Phoenix, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Amy Adams.
This is the Scientology movie that isn't about Scientology. Apparently, it's just about a cult that Philip Seymour Hoffman starts and Joaquin Phoenix falls in with after he returns home from World War II.
Arbitrage, directed by Nicholas Jarecki, starring Richard Gere in the performance of his career, apparently, Susan Sarandon, Tim Roth, and the lovely Britt Marling.
The lovely and talented Britt Marling. She didn't write this one, but Richard Gere plays a rich dude who's trying to sell off his company. He's making all sorts of bad decisions. The law is closing in on him, and he's trying to keep his wife, Susan Sarandon, and daughter Britt Marling from thinking he's a complete scumbag.
Also, Bangkok Revenge, directed by Jean-Marc Mineo, starring John Fu and Carolyn Ducey. It's about revenging Bangkok, I guess.
Sounds about right. I was actually not able to find anything about this movie.
Also, Liberal Arts, directed by Josh Radnor, starring Josh Radnor, Elizabeth Olsen. Zac Efron's in that?
And that's what it said.
And Elizabeth Reeser.
Josh Radnor heads back to college, where he seems to relive his greatest successes, one of which appears to be bedding down with Lizzie Olsen.
That's worth college for me.
Yep.
Barfi, directed by Anurag Basu, starring Priyanka Chopra, Ranbir Kapoor.
See, this is what you get for putting all these movies in here. I'm making you say the names, and I'm sitting back saying, yep, couldn't find anything about that one either.
That's fine. Stolen, directed by Simon West, starring Nicolas Cage, Malin Ackerman, Josh Lucas, and Danny Huston.
This is the one where Nicolas Cage gets out of jail for bank robbery and immediately has to rob a bank to rescue his daughter from his former partner who's holding her hostage in a taxi cab.
So we're in that crappy part of spring.
Crappy part of fall?
Yeah, fall. Yeah. So September is pretty rough so far.
I would say.
September 21st, maybe the first couple movies that actually interest me. Opening wide that week, Dread 3D, directed by Pete Travis, written by Alex Garland, starring Carl Urban, Olivia Thirlby, and Lena Headey.
It's essentially The Raid Redemption with less Asians, but more Dr. Bones and more of Juno's little friend.
And less Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
End of Watch, directed by David Ayer, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Michael Pena, the love of my life, Anna Kendrick, and America Ferrera.
Jake Gyllenhaal and Mikey Pena star in possibly the worst or best episode of Cops ever as they're chased down by a drug cartel.
Trouble with the Curve, directed by Robert Lorenz, Clint Eastwood. Well, first off, can I say, I want to see End of Watch.
Okay, yeah, I know. You're on record as saying
it's not just because of Anna Kendrick.
It's mostly because of her.
Yeah, but it looks pretty decent. Speaking of what I don't want to see, Trouble with the Curve, directed by Robert Lorenz, starring Clint Eastwood, Amy Adams, and Justin Timberlake.
Clint Eastwood and his daughter, Amy Adams. Clint Eastwood is a minor league baseball scout working for the Braves. He's getting too old for this shit, so Amy Adams comes along to make sure that the Braves don't fire him for being an awful scout. Justin Timberlake plays a rival, obviously younger scout that he's had some problems with in the past, and now they're trying to work everything out.
See, I honestly thought that Timberlake was the player he was scouting.
I did too, but he's not.
This looks like the most cliched, terrible, horribly written, predictable movie to come out in a while.
I thought it sounded all right until I saw the trailer,
and
now
it
looks miserable.
Absolutely terrible, and it has nothing to do with Clint Eastwood talking to an empty chair. It just looks terrible. Like, it just looks so cliched.
Right. Old guy, just doing old, surly, get off my lawn stuff.
Opposite of terrible looking, House at the End of the Street, directed by Mark Tondorai, starring Jennifer Lawrence, Elizabeth Shue, Max Thoreau, and Gil Bellows.
Lizzie Shue tells J-Law to stay away from that creepy kid who lives in the house at the end of the street. Guess where she goes?
J-Law and Shue sell it for me right there. That's all I need.
I like them both, but if we were talking about predictable with Trouble with the Curve, I kind of feel like this is going to be pretty predictable as
well. Yeah, we'll see, though. I mean, this week, you look at the wides, I would watch Dread, End of Watch, or House at the End of the Street.
I'd watch none of them.
This is the first weekend I'd watch any of the wides. Limited that week, The Perks of Being a Wallflower, directed by Stephen Jabowski, starring Logan Lerman, Emma Watson, and Ezra Miller from We Need to Talk About Kevin.
A young, shy high schooler is taken in by a couple older kids, and they become friends. Teach them how to be cool.
Backwards, movie we don't need to talk about, directed by Bob Hickernell, Sarah Megan Thomas.
Oh, and there's somebody else in it. James Vanderbeek. Hell yeah. Dawson hires an Olympic hopeful to be his new high school crew coach, and she decides she wants to go back to the Olympics.
Also in limited release on September 21st, you got Heroin, directed by Madhur Bhandarkar, starring Kareena Kapoor and Randeep Hooda, and War of the Buttons, directed by Christopher Baratier, starring Letitia Casta, Guillaume Canet, John Texier, Alona Bashiello. Then you have the documentaries that week, How to Survive a Plague, directed by David France.
It's about AIDS.
Diana Vreeland.
The Eye Has to Travel. It's about the Harper's Bazaar editor of that magazine.
And then expanding wide that week is The Master, which opened limited on September 14th, the week before that. Going into September 28th, one of my five most anticipated of the year when we did, I think both of us had it, didn't we?
I hope so, because this movie does look cool,
yeah,
and I don't want to leave it off.
When we did our halftime show, we both had Looper in our top five most anticipated, directed by Rian Johnson, who did Brick, starring Joey Gordon-Levitt, coming off the high of Premium Rush, Bruce Willis, Emily Blunt, and Jeff Daniels.
Mobsters send people back in time to get whacked. Bruce Willis gets sent back in time to be whacked off by his younger self, Joey Gordon-Levitt.
And I just said Bruce Willis does the bottom of the barrel. But then he does stuff awesome, like this. Yeah. This looks fantastic. They made Joey Gordon-Levitt look really weird because they do makeup to make him look like a younger Bruce Willis. It looks fantastic. And we disagree on Brick.
We do.
But I think this will be awesome. The opposite of that, you got Won't Back Down, also opening that weekend, directed by Daniel Barnes, starring Maggie Gyllenhaal, Viola Davis, and Holly Hunter.
Apparently, Maggie and Viola Davis try to reform the school that their kids go to, and I guess the school is run by some dicks.
I've always had a crush on Holly Hunter. Also opening September 28th, Hotel Transylvania, directed by Genndy Tartakovsky, starring the voice talents of Adam Sandler, Andy Samberg, Selena Gomez, and Kevin James.
In this one, Dracula runs a hotel exclusively for monsters, that is, until a backpacker shows up and tries to date his daughter.
In Limited that week, Bringing Up Bobby, directed by Famke Janssen, who I'm a fan of, starring Mila Jovovich, who I always get confused for Famke Janssen, Bill Pullman, Marsha Cross, Rory Cochrane, who I'm a huge fan of, and Spencer List.
Essentially, a European con artist relocates herself to Oklahoma and tries to start her life over and give her son a normal life.
I don't know if we're doing a watch this week. Watch Right at Your Door, starring Rory Cochrane. Fantastic movie.
No, we weren't, but...
Starbuck, directed by Ken Scott, starring Patrick Heward, Julie Le Breton, Antoine Bertrand. Can only assume it's a Battlestar Galactica fan fiction film.
I guess so. The fact that I couldn't find anything probably just buoys your point.
Also, a place sounds like I would like to visit it, Vulgaria.
Like you live there.
Directed by Ho Chang Pang. Speaking of vulgar, Pang, Chapman Toe, and Ronald Chang. Documentaries that week, The Waiting Room, directed by Peter Nix.
It's about hospitals getting swamped by uninsured patients. Sounds enthralling.
October 5th, Tugging at My Heartstrings, opening wide, Pitch Perfect.
Directed be tugging by, at something else.
Directed by Jason Moore, starring the lovely
Brittany Snow,
Anna Kendrick, Brittany Snow, Rebel Wilson, and Anna Camp.
It's essentially Glee the college years.
Except this makes more sense. Glee, they just break out in song for no reason. This, it's an a cappella Bring It On, essentially.
Sure, you can.
It's like a dance battle movie, but with singing instead of dancing.
Yeah, I'll give you
that.
And with
Anna Kendrick, so I'm in.
Yes, he's in.
I'm in. Not everything I want to be, but I'm in. Frankenweenie, directed by Tim Burton, starring the voices of Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hare, Martin Short, and Martin Landau.
This is kind of the feature-length version of the short that Tim Burton did a while ago. This creepy little kid that brings his dead dog back to life.
In a trailer we talked about a while ago, also opening wide on October 5th, Sinister, directed by Scott Derrickson, starring Ethan Hawke, Juliette Rylance, James Ransone, and Vincent D'Onofrio.
Found footage helps Ethan Hawke solve the murder of his family. Spoiler alert, it appears it was a ghost.
And if you live in LA and want to see this Sinister movie, go to geekscape.net. They are hosting a screening of it on September 28th, where the director and producer and possibly Ethan Hawke will be there.
Nice.
So they're selling out pretty quick, so you can go see that. Also, Taken 2, directed by Oliver Megaton, which there was
that's
that
my
last R in his name.
Favorite name ever.
Starring Liam Neeson, Famke Janssen, and Maggie Grace.
Liam and Famke both get taken this time, and their daughter have to find them and kill them. Not her parents.
Not kill them.
Right.
You got kidnapped, and I'm so angry I'm going to find you and kill you.
For getting kidnapped and wasting my time trying to find you.
Speaking of wasting time and limited release
so wrong.
Butter, directed by Jim Field Smith, starring Jay Garner, Yara Shahidi, Ty Burrell, Olivia Wilde, Rob Corddry. We talked about the trailer last week.
Yep, there's a litany of good folks involved in this. Jennifer Garner and Ty Burrell, they play husband and wife. They're excellent butter sculptors. Olivia Wilde teams up with a young orphan girl to try and beat them.
Also, The Paperboy, directed by Lee Daniels of Precious fame, starring Matthew McConaughey, Nicole Kidman, John Cusack, and Zac Efron.
Zac Efron and Matty McConaughey play newspaper reporters that have to try and prove that John Cusack was wrongly convicted of a crime he didn't commit, which is a bit like the opening to the A-Team, or maybe he did commit that crime because he looks kind of squirrely in this movie.
Also limited on October 5th, VHS. Calvin Reeder, Lane Hughes, Adam Wingard, Hannah Freeman, star, directed by
Ty West,
Joe Swanberg, yeah. A few other people.
Radio Silence folks. We've been talking about this movie for a while. It's the found footage horror anthology movie, which is available on VOD now.
I did see it on video on demand.
We've both seen it now.
It's
not as good as we were hoping.
No, there's some moments on it. I wouldn't suggest going to the theater to see it unless you're really, really into this stuff. But I wouldn't say it's not worth a watch.
It might be fun in October.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's got some good. It's got some bad.
You take them both, and there you have VHS.
Yeah. Moving on to October 12th, my number one most anticipated from the halftime show.
Opening. This is going to be a good week.
It's a really good week. It's a really good week. This is probably the week of the fall. This is where we get into it. October 12th, opening wide, Seven Psychopaths, directed by In Bruges' Martin McDonagh, starring
In Bruges'
Colin Farrell, Woody Harrelson, Sam Rockwell, Christopher Walken.
Essentially, Rockwell and Farrell kidnap a dognap from the rich for some ransom money. They mistakenly take crime lord Woody Harrelson's dog, and he doesn't seem to take it very well. Also, Precious is in this movie.
It just released... Yeah. Gabrielle Sibide.
Yeah, sure.
They just released a Red Band trailer for it this week, but we're skipping trailers, so we're not going to talk about it.
Bitter much?
Also, huge movie opening this week, Argo, directed by Ben Affleck, starring Ben Affleck, Bryan Cranston, John Goodman, and Taylor Schilling.
It's based on the true story where Affleck and his crew pose as a Canadian film crew that sneak in to try and smuggle some American prisoners out of the Middle East.
Yeah, it screened at the TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival, or no, Telluride, whatever film festival went on this weekend, it screened at and got amazing reviews.
Cool.
So, speaking of not amazing reviews, also opening wide that week, Here Comes the Boom, directed by Frank Caracci, starring Kevin James, Salma Hayek, Henry Winkler, and Melissa Peterman.
Kevin James goes from the classroom to the octagon to raise money for the poor school that he teaches at.
And it doesn't look as slapsticky as I would expect.
No, it doesn't, but it doesn't look good either.
No, in limited that week, kind of a head-scratcher here, Atlas Shrugged Part 2, directed by John Putch, starring Samantha Mathis, who I love, Jason Beghe, and Isai Morales.
Who was in the Battlestar spinoff. There you go, Dave. Obviously, this is the second half of Ayn Rand's saga about planes, trains, and saying how bad socialism is.
And the one that bombed.
Oh, yeah, the first one was terrible.
It bombed terribly.
I didn't see it, but yeah.
That there was no reason for a sequel to come out. Excuse Me for Living, directed by Rick Klass, starring Tom Pelfrey, Christopher Lloyd, Wayne Knight, and Jerry Stiller.
Pelfrey plays a druggie who has to lead a senior men's group or he's going to go to jail.
If you're leading a senior men's group, that cast isn't bad.
No, Christopher Lloyd and Jerry Stiller, I think, are going to be kind of funny. Sometimes I come off kind of condescending when I'm talking about these movies. I don't all the time mean it. This one sounds kind of interesting.
It sounds reminiscent of Couch Trip.
I think there's a lot of do this or you're going to go to jail. Some of them are done better than others. But, you know, there again, like, I don't want to give too much of the story away, trying to avoid spoilers. Not that there's a huge spoiler necessarily in this, but yeah, I just try and give you the basics. The cast looks cool. Maybe see it.
Yeah, also limited on October 12th, Nobody Walks, directed by Ry Russo-Young, starring Dylan McDermott, John Krasinski, Justin Kirk, the lovely Jane Levy, beautiful Olivia Thirlby, Rosemary DeWitt.
Yeah, she's all right, too. Krasinski welcomes a young film student, Thirlby, in with his family, then falls in love with her, which is cool, but he's married.
And at the same time, his wife is Justin Kirk's trying to fuck her.
So,
the trailer looks sad.
It seems fair.
Lena Dunham is also in this, isn't she?
Probably, but I think I had to cut it off somewhere.
Yeah, I believe this is also Lena Dunham in it. Also, that weekend, the Sundance hit Middle of Nowhere, directed by Ava DuVernay, starring Emeyazi Corinaldi, David Oyelowo, Lorraine Toussaint, and Edwina Finley.
A woman drops out of med school to tend to her incarcerated husband. Does sound very much like a Sundance movie.
It looks heavy. Like, it looks... Because I think another guy gets involved, and she's got to... Does she stay with
heavier than the gay dudes?
It looks about that.
Oh, no.
It looks like it's going to be one of those that's very, very well acted. Probably a great movie, but
that
not
I won't
up
see.
My alley.
Yeah.
So, it, but... the last limited release for the weekend of October 12th, When a Wolf Falls in Love with a Sheep.
I'm guessing that's a translated title.
Directed by Hu Chi Jian, starring Kai Zhou, Jian Manshu, Guai Xiao, Nikki Haishi, and Sai Xin Nan.
Don't call him bullshit on all of those, but I don't want to try and pronounce him, so moving right along.
Then you get into October 19th. Maybe not as big of a weekend for us, per se, but this is one I would see any of the three limited releases.
Any of the three wide releases.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I keep getting those two.
That's okay. I got your back.
Yeah. First one, October 19th, Alex Cross, directed by Rob Cohen, starring Tyler Perry, Matthew Fox, Rachel Nichols, Edward Burns.
Medea hunts down a serial killer. He's kind of picking up the role that was played before by Morgan Freeman, so it's kind of a different... It's definitely a different vehicle for Tyler Perry, so it'll be interesting to see if he can carry off, in addition to being a serious role, kind of like an action role, too.
Yeah, like a thriller. Then you got, I think it was one of my most anticipated, Killing Them Softly, directed by Andrew Dominik of Assassination Jesse James fame, starring Jesse James, Brad Pitt, Ray Liotta, Richard Jenkins, Scoot McNairy.
A couple guys knock off a mob poker game. Brad Pitt gets hired to find the thieves and whack them off.
Sounds like my kind of movie. Paranormal Activity 4, directed by Henry Joost and Ariel Schulman, who did Catfish. Katie Featherston returns from the first one, and she was in the others, but seems like a bigger role. Also starring Matt Shively, Brady Allen, and Catherine Newton.
I've seen the first three, so don't jump on my shit if I get this wrong. But I'm the way I'm looking at this is after two prequels, I think finally an actual sequel to the 2007 movie.
I'll see it. I mean, I watch them. I don't go out to the theater to see them, but when they
a lot
come
of people
out,
do though.
Yeah. Oh no, they do. They do. They make them for $10 million and make $100 and some.
Yeah, I was gonna say they make $10 million in the midnight screenings. That
the limited that weekend. And If We All Live Together, directed by Stephanie Rebelland, starring Guy Bedos, Daniel Brühl, Geraldine Chaplin, and Jane Fonda.
This is one of those ones where sometimes I sound condescending and I don't mean it. This time I do mean it. Instead of heading to a retirement home, five old folks move in together, and it sounds thrilling.
That's when you get to see what happens when people stop being real and
start.
What were we talking about?
Being, I see. I see how you did that.
Then The Flat, terrible movie we talked about when the trailer came out. That we
oh, yeah, that's right, we
don't
did.
Need to go into it.
That's the one where they find the dead girl and they got to figure out who killed her. I see.
So we'll just move past that into October 26th. Kind of a bigger weekend, I guess. Opening wide, The Big Wedding, directed by Justin Zachem, starring Robert De Niro, Amanda Seyfried, Katherine Heigl, Robin Williams, Adam Brody.
With a bunch of people in it, essentially De Niro and Diane Keaton are divorced. They have to pretend that they're still married during their daughter's wedding because the guy she's marrying, his mother is a pretty devout Catholic, doesn't believe in divorce, and that could cause some problems.
Then a movie I really want to see, Fun Size, directed by Josh Schwartz, starring Victoria Justice, Johnny Knoxville, Chelsea Handler, Anna Gasteyer, Jane Levy, and Ricky Lindholm.
Justice goes to a Halloween party, or tries to go to a Halloween party, hosted by the boy that she likes. Everything looks good until her little brother wanders off, and then her and Jane Levy have to go try and find little
Tyke. I think the trailer has some legitimate laughs in it, and it doesn't seem like it's a Nickelodeon movie, but it doesn't seem like they're gearing too young. Plus, I'll watch Jane Levy in anything. Also, October 26th, Silent Hill Revelation, directed by Michael J. Bassett, starring Sean Bean, Raja Mitchell from the first one, Carrie Ann Moss, and Kit Harington.
Mitchell is forced to return to a spooky town to rescue, essentially, the Starks from these ash people.
Yeah, I mean, in case you were clamoring for that sequel from...
Here it is!
...however many years ago. And then Cloud Atlas, directed by Tom Tykwer and Annie and Lana Wachowski, starring Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, Hugh Grant, Hugo Weaving.
This one was a pain in the ass to try and like write, what is this movie about? And this is the best that I could come up with. A soul-hopping, time-traveling movie that tracks characters as they live through multiple lives through the ages.
It seems like The Fountain. That's the feeling I get from it.
But maybe less of a love story?
Yeah. Chasing Mavericks. This trailer keeps popping up, and every week I refuse to put it on.
This one was terrible. Easy to write a synopsis.
Directed by Michael Apted and Curtis Hanson. Starring Johnny Weston, Gerard Butler, Elizabeth Shue, and Levin Rambin.
Gerard Butler plays a legendary surfer that trains a younger surfer, Weston, to ride this big-ass wave that everyone refers to as the Mavericks.
It's one of, like, two or three Gerard Butler, like, feel-good movies that the trailers have come out for in the last month or so. In Limited that week, you're going to have a well-acted The Sessions, directed by Ben Lewin, starring the always amazing John Hawks, the Where the Hell Did She Go Helen Hunt, always awesome Bill H. Macy, and the awesomely named Moon Bloodgood.
Hawks lives in an iron lung and hires a sex surrogate, played by Helen Hunt, to rid him of his virginity.
Yeah, also Loneliest that week, or Limited that week, Starlet, directed by Sean Baker, starring Dree Hemingway, Basedka Johnson, and James Ransone.
A young lady makes friends with an old lady after she finds a stash of cash hidden in a garage sale item she buys from the old lady.
The last limited release for that week, The Loneliest Planet, directed by Julia Lochtev, starring Hani Furstenberg and Gael Garcia Bernal, looks fairly intense.
Usually that's a safe thing to assume from his movies.
Yeah.
Not so intense that I'd write anything up about it.
November 2nd, opening wide, Flight, directed by Robert Zemeckis, starring Denzel Washington, John Goodman, Bruce Greenwood, and John Chadle.
I think this is one of the ones where I would see any of the three movies that are in wide release. This one, Flight, is like the story of Captain Sully, if Sully was drunk when he landed in the river. And who knows, maybe he was. I don't.
I think it looks great.
Yeah, absolutely. Denzel Washington's pilot goes from hero to defendant as he's in addition to rescuing all these people by making a hell of a landing, now they're trying to get his ass in the sling for being a raging alcoholic dude.
Yeah, no, it looks great. It's good to have Zemeckis back to live action. It looks like an Oscar-type movie for Denzel. I really do have high hopes for this. It looks like it's going to be intense.
No pun intended.
Speaking of intense, The Man with the Iron Fists, directed by RZA, starring Russell Crowe, Kung Lee, Lucy Liu, RZA, Dave Bautista,
a bunch of folks.
Bunch of other people.
Yeah. And essentially, the blacksmith, played by RZA, must protect his fellow villagers from a bunch of assholes that could be anyone. It's hard to tell in that trailer who the assholes are. I'm going to guess that maybe it's everybody not named the RZA, but I don't really know. I don't care because I still want to see it.
Also, opening wide November 2nd, Wreck-It Ralph. Directed by Rich Moore, starring the voices of John C. Reilly, Jack McBrayer, Jane Lynch, and Sarah Silverman.
Riley's video game character gets tired of being the bad guy in his game, so he decides to be a hero in a different game altogether.
In Limited that week, you have the documentary High Ground, directed by Michael Brown, Steve Baskis, Luis Benitez, Brad Bull, and Sherman Bull. Other limited release, Jack and Diane, directed by Bradley Rust Gray, starring Juno Temple, Kylie Minogue, and Riley Keough.
Both girls meet and make out in New York. They fall in love, and one of the girls starts having, and I quote, werewolf-like visions.
It seems interesting. The trailer doesn't show a whole bunch.
No.
I'll see it. Eventually. This Must Be the Place, which just released a trailer this week. Directed by Paolo Sorrentino, starring eyelinered Sean Penn, Frances McDormand, and Judd Hirsch.
A retired rock star heads to New York to find the guy that is responsible for humiliating his father, recently deceased father, during World War II.
A Late Quartet, directed by Yaron Zimmerman, starring Philip Seymour Hoffman, Christopher Walken, the lovely, the talented Imogen Poots, the older but still lovely Catherine Keener.
Essentially, a string quartet tries to stay together while dealing with death and egos and the like. I was hoping this might be like A Mighty Wind, but it doesn't sound like it.
No. Also in Limited on November 2nd, seems to be late, the ABCs of Death.
It's essentially a horror anthology with a bunch of directors, not unlike VHS, except that it doesn't seem to have the... being a found footage was kind of a hook for that movie. I don't know what the hook for this one is.
And why it's coming out 3 days after Halloween, who knows? We get further away from Halloween as we get into more into November. November 9th, opening wide, the only wide release this week, Skyfall, directed by Sam Mendes, starring Daniel Craig, Helen McCrory, Javier Bardem, and Ralph Fiennes.
This is, of course, the new James Bond flick, in which a list of identities of MI6 agents gets into the wrong hands, they all end up dead, and presumably Bond saves the world again.
In Limited that week, Lincoln, directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Daniel Day-Lewis
as Lincoln,
Joey Gordon-Levitt, Tommy Lee Jones, and Jared Harris.
Much like the previous Lincoln movie, just with more focus on the Civil War and less focus on vampires.
Also in Limited on November 9th, Coming Up Roses, directed by Lisa Albright, starring Bernadette Peters, Rachel Brosnahan, and Peter Friedman. And A Royal Affair, directed by Nikolai Arcel, starring the lovely, the talented Mads Mikkelsen, Mikkel Bull Fulsgaard, and Alice Vikander. That's all you got?
Yep, that's it. I didn't want to write a synopsis for that one.
There's
it's
a trailer
like historical.
Yeah, there's a trailer for that out there, too.
Yeah.
It's a few weeks old. Opening wide November 16th, as we try to get into the moneymakers, this is like a mini
one
summer.
Of them.
I mean, that middle of November is when you start. It's like another mini kind of
Yeah, there's
summer.
A couple that'll make some money here.
Opening wide, Twilight, Breaking Dawn Part 2, directed by Bill Condon, starring Kristen Stewart, Robert Pattinson, Taylor Lautner, and Dakota Fanning.
This one's about vampires and werewolves, Dave.
Speaking of, wouldn't it have made more sense when you're splitting a book into two parts? Like, if this would have come out, like, 6 months after, like, we talked about The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't this have made more sense instead of waiting a year between them?
Yeah, I think it would have.
Mockingjay is back-to-back Thanksgivings, the third and fourth Hunger Games movies. Wouldn't those make more sense to do Thanksgiving and then summer?
But they didn't film those ones concurrently,
they're not filming
did they?
They're not filmed yet. They haven't even started.
Well, no, I mean, like, I mean Twilight, specifically.
I thought they did, but I could be
wrong.
I
don't know if they did or not, but...
I could be wrong, but, Limited that week, you have Nobody Wants to Open Wide against Twilight. You got Anna Karenina.
Karenina.
Directed by Joe Wright, starring Keira Knightley, Jude Law, Aaron Taylor Johnson, and Matthew McFadden.
Essentially, Keira Knightley snubs Jude Law for Kick-Ass.
A mustached Kick-Ass.
Yep.
Also, Limited that week, Rust and Bone, directed by Jacques Audiard, starring Marion Cotillard, Matthias Schoenaerts, Armand Verdure, and Celine Sellet. Expanding that weekend is Lincoln. Then we get into Thanksgiving. That Wednesday, the November 21st, another one of my most anticipated of the year, Rise of the Guardians, directed by Peter Ramsey, starring the voices of Hugh Jackman, Alec Baldwin, Isla Fisher, and Chris Pine.
Did you not have any summer movies on your most anticipated, or were they all in the fall?
I think they were all fall.
Okay. I'm just checking.
I think Lawless was the closest one.
Maybe. Essentially, Santa, Jack Frost, the Sandman, the Easter Bunny, etc., team up to defeat some sort of mysterious darkness that is threatening children.
It's the Boogeyman.
Yeah, okay, the Boogeyman. Sure.
Also, November 21st, Ryan's number one most anticipated that
probably,
wasn't
yeah.
in the summer, Life of Pi, directed by Ang Lee, starring Suraj Sharma, Irfan Khan, Adi Hussein, and Taboo.
It's that guy that disappeared in the Spider-Man movie, reappears in The Life of Pi. A young boy survives a shipwreck only to be stranded in the middle of an ocean on a lifeboat with assorted wildlife, including a Bengal tiger.
Is it the same boy that disappeared in Amazing Spider-Man?
No, that Irfan Khan is the guy that disappeared in Spider-Man.
Oh, I haven't seen it, but I didn't know anybody disappeared.
Yeah.
Also,
it's just a bad job on that movie. It's a plot line they never tie up. The guy just
So you mean the script was weak?
I never would have predicted that. I mean, there was too much that was cut out.
Also,
the movie still made a shit ton of money.
Also, that Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I don't know why, Red Dawn, directed by Dan Bradley, starring Chris Hemsworth, Adrian Palicki, Josh Hutcherson, Josh Peck, Isabel Lucas, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Wolverines.
Absolutely. Hemsworth leads a group of Wolverines, young high schoolers, in a guerrilla resistance style attack against some vaguely looking computer-enhanced Asian folks.
Some computer-enhanced North Koreans.
Sure.
This was done forever ago. This was filmed before he was even cast as Thor. Silver Linings Playbook, directed by David O. Russell, starring Bradley Cooper, Jennifer Lawrence, Robert De Niro, and Jackie Weaver.
Bradley Coop gets out of a nut house, moves into his parents' house, and tries to reconnect with his ex-wife until also crazy Katniss shows up.
I'll see it. I think it looks good. I think Cooper and J-Law are going to be awesome in these roles. Then that weekend, or no, this is the following weekend, November 30th, kind of taking the week off. You Can Too, opening limited, The Collection, directed by Marcus Dunstan, starring Daniel Sherman, Aaron Way, Josh Stewart, and Christopher McDonald.
Essentially, this is a sequel to the 09 movie that I didn't see called The Collector.
It was terrible.
Okay.
The movie was terrible. It was written by those two feast cunts.
Oh.
I think so. I could be off base there. It sucked, so I assumed it was. Terrible, though. December 7th, opening wide, Playing for Keeps, directed by Gabrielle Muschino, starring Gerard Butler, Jessica Biel, Dennis Quaid, and Uma Thurman.
This is another one of his feel-good movies.
Like,
yeah.
Sporty-type movies.
Down on his luck, sports star, played by Gerard Butler, tries to get his life together while coaching his son's soccer team.
Looks terrible. Unlimited that week, you have Deadfall, directed by Stefan Rosowski, starring Eric Bana, Olivia Wilde, Charlie Hunnam, Sissy Spacek, and Kris Kristofferson.
Bannon and Wild rob a casino and then get stuck in the woods trying to make their escape into Canada. Charlie Hunnam picks up Olivia Wilde and...
he's a boxer.
Looks like he picks her up.
Hyde Park on Hudson, directed by Roger Mitchell, starring Bill Murray, Laura Linney, Olivia Williams, and Samuel West.
This is another one of the ones that's getting a little bit of run for awards already for Bill Murray's performance as FDR, as he hosts the King and Queen of England in upstate New York.
Moving on to December 14th, Shit Gets Real. Opening wide, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, directed by Peter Jackson, starring Martin Freeman as Bilbo Baggins, Ian McKellen, Richard Armitage, Andy Serkis.
Bilbo and a bunch of dwarves team up to reclaim dwarven treasure from a dragon.
They're not really dwarves. They're hobbits.
No, they're dwarves.
And he is the hobbit.
He is a hobbit. The rest of them are dwarves.
Whatever. Les Miserables, directed by Tom Hooper, Oscar-winning director Tom Hooper, starring Hugh Jackman, Russell Crowe, Anne Hathaway, who cuts her hair and is sad, and Helena Bonham Carter.
This movie is about Les Miserables, so if you don't know the plot, yeah, I'm not going to bother you with it.
December 19th, Wednesday, Monsters, Inc. 3D, directed by Peter Docter and David Silverman, John Goodman, Billy Crystal, Mary Gibbs, Steve Buscemi. Just same thing as Finding Nemo.
It's Monsters.
Monsters, Inc. re-released. Then one I'm excited about, Zero Dark Thirty, directed by Catherine Bigelow, starring Chris Pratt, Jessica Chastain, Joel Edgerton, Jason Clarke, Mark Duplass, a bunch of people I like.
This is essentially the story of the 10-year operation to get Osama bin Laden. Spoiler alert, they kill him.
Limited that week, Amour, directed by Michael Haneke, Jean-Louis Trintignant stars, along with Emmanuel Riva and Isabel Huppert. Going on to December 22nd, Jack Reacher, directed by Christopher McQuarrie, who also wrote the script, starring Tom Cruise, Rosamund Pike, Robert Duvall, and Jai Courtney.
Cruise tracks a trained military sniper who's gone off the reservation and shot five folks.
This is brilliant, like, placement here, because what made a ton of money last summer, last Christmas, that nobody expected to? Mission Impossible 4.
Oh, yeah.
So now you're putting out
another Tom Cruise action movie.
Which I think it'll do well. I really do. I don't like him as casting because Jack Reacher is this six guy that's huge.
I don't think a lot of people know that.
No, but I mean, it's so people that like the books are going to be anti-Tom Cruise, but the trailer actually looks pretty good. Then you got Cirque du Soleil, directed by Andrew Adamson, then a bunch of other people.
From Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah. This is 40, another one I'm excited about. Directed by Judd Apatow, starring Jason Segel, Megan Fox, Paul Rudd, Leslie Mann, Chris O'Dowd, Melissa McCarthy.
It's kind of a spinoff of Rudd and Martin's characters from Knocked Up as they enter their 40s.
It looks fantastic. Looks funny. I like Judd Apatow. I don't know why I said it like that.
I like that man, too.
Limited that week. A trailer we talked about last week, The Impossible, directed by Juan Antonio Bayanawa. Starring Naomi Watts, Ewan McGregor, Tom Holland, and Oakley Pendergast.
It's based on the true story of a family trying to find each other after the tsunamis hit.
And just in time for Christmas is the Double Handy movie, On the Road, directed by Walter Salles, starring Kristen Stewart, Amy Adams, Kristen Dunst, Viggo Mortensen, Steve Buscemi, Garrett Hedlund.
Bunch of folks. Essentially, it's an adaptation of Kerouac's book, where two beatniks travel the country looking for it, which it apparently is a double handy.
Yeah, and they find it. Spoiler alert. Also limited on December 21st, Not Fade Away, directed by David Chase, starring John Magaro, Will Brill, Jack Huston, and James Gandolfini. Then we get to Christmas. This is our last week of the fall releases.
Yeah, at this point, we're firmly into winter, but yeah. You know, what
yeah,
the
this
hell.
Is, it's, there's no winter movies.
At this point, at Christmas, is, we are into winter.
This is where you go from fall into award season, but whatever, we're not doing an award season preview. Tuesday, December 25th, opening wide, Django Unchained, directed by Quentin Tarantino, starring Jamie Foxx, Don Johnson, Leonardo DiCaprio, Kerry Washington,
Christoph
cameos
Waltz,
from Jonah Hill, yeah. Sacha Baron Cohen, all sorts of people.
A slave-turned-bounty hunter tries to rescue his wife from a Mississippi plantation owner.
You'll see it. I know you're a big QT fan.
Yeah, no, I like him. I think the trailer does look pretty cool. I think we're probably both on opposite sides of the how DiCaprio is going to do as the crazy-ass plantation owner.
I
think it'll
DiCaprio,
be cool.
I trust DiCaprio, but the trailer, it looks a little ridiculous. To go back to the turtle script, there's a Reservoir Dogs reference.
Really?
Yeah, because the reason they wear different colored headbands,
oh.
Casey Jones gives them to him so he can tell them apart.
Yeah.
And when giving them different colored headbands, he's like, this is like Reservoir Dogs, which is awesome.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, that movie's going to be
bad
awesome.
Bad job.
Also opening on Christmas, The Guilt Trip, directed by Anne Fletcher, starring Seth Rogen, Barbara Streisand, Adam Scott, and the love of my life from Australia, Yvonne Strahovski.
This one, I got to admit, like the more I read about it, saw who was in it, it sounds really cool. Essentially, Seth Rogen plays an inventor who teams up with his mom, Barbara Streisand. They hit the road to try and sell his newest invention.
You know what? I'm not a Streisand fan, but I love Seth Rogen.
I'm not either.
I love Adam Scott.
Yeah.
I love Yvonne Strahovski and hope she gets more work in the States. But this sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see it. He shows up in For a Good Time Call also. He's got probably just a cameo. But this sounds awesome.
It's a pleasant surprise when we were doing our research.
Yeah. Also, the last movie we're going to talk about for the our fall release, Parental Guidance, directed by Andy Fickman, starring Billy Crystal, Bette Midler, Marissa Tomei, and Tom Everett Scott.
The generational gap widens in this one as a grandfather tries to take care of his grandkids for their working mother. It's supposed to be kind of a comedy, but
this has got to be the first Billy Crystal in a long time. Without looking it up, and Bette Midler.
Yeah, I think, you know, Billy Crystal, Bette Midler, Barbara Streisand, like, if you just looked at, oh, hey, there's movies coming out starring these three people, quick, what year is it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think the tail end of 2012 would be your first answer.
No. So, I mean, that's our fall preview.
You know, you kind of mentioned as we were going through it, stuff that that you are kind of looking forward to. Yeah, do you have like three off the top of your head that you think are going to be pretty good?
Seven Psychopaths, obviously. I would think Looper, Argo maybe, but then Rise of the Guardians and Wreck-It Ralph and Flight are probably all right behind there.
Yeah, I would say, for me, like, obviously, I think Hobbit's going to be cool, but I think pretty much everybody's kind of already made up their mind about Hobbit, so I'm not going to mention that. I think that Wreck-It Ralph is going to be really good. I'm excited to see that. I do think Looper is going to be pretty rad. I'm going to end up seeing the Bond movie just because that's what I'm into. I've already said that Life of Pi, I think, is going to be pretty interesting. That's going to be one that I'm really looking forward to seeing in 3D. I saw the trailer in 3D, and there was a lot of, for a trailer, I thought there was a lot of good stuff in it.
And also something that we didn't mention because it got added late and actually opening up this weekend, Branded. We talked about the trailer a while ago.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped about
this
one.
If you haven't seen the trailer for Branded, go find it. It looks awesome. It's getting a wide campaign. I guess it's limited release, but it's getting promoted like it's a wide release.
I suspect this one will be one of those ones that you can probably catch like VOD
Hopefully,
here pretty soon.
I really want to see it.
Yeah, I do too. We kind of talked a bit about that it looked somewhat like They Live, but a bit more updated. Maybe that's just what I've projected onto it, but I love They Live, so if they could do an updated version and if it ends up being Branded, it's cool with me.
I mean, I think it looks cool, but I wouldn't put it amongst my top. But the thing is we go through that, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of heavy hitters really, but the ones that are gonna do well, I think are gonna do really well. So I think there's quite a few weekends there where it's just kind of like and then of course you'll have stuff added here and there. The stuff that gets Oscar buzz will get a limited release for like a week,
so it's eligible. Yeah.
So one noticeable missing on here is that Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity was supposed to be November. It got bumped till next year. So that kind of bums me out. I think it would fit well in November where it was supposed to be. But other than that, the stuff I want to see, I really want to see.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a decent season.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that kind of fits into your the movies that are going to do well are going to do really well. Because, there's already kind of people are excited about seeing them already. You've got some movies that are either going to launch some new franchises or they're part of existing franchises. And then some standalone ones with some recognizable names too.
Now, not to tip your hand in fantasy film ball at all, but
because I'm not going to.
What's your guess on Cloud Atlas? Do you think it lives up to the hype, or do you think people just don't care?
That's one that I actually probably was going to mention about 5 minutes ago when we were talking about stuff. I think it looks really neat. I think it's going to be really cool. I don't know how much hype is around it right now.
I think it's going to find an audience. I truly think it'll bomb. I don't know why. I just have a feeling that I don't think people will care about this movie as much as the studio wants them to care about it.
They may not. I mean, obviously, we talked a couple weeks ago about the studio really wanting the Wachowskis to be back to kind of their old tricks, and they'd like to give them the reins for Justice League to kind of bring it all the way back around. Maybe this movie will help. Maybe this one will hurt. I don't know. I think I liked The Fountain. I thought it was really, really an interesting story.
I liked the present storyline. That was it.
That's your opinion. I liked it. That's
my
opinion.
That, yeah.
But and I could see where maybe this movie, because you didn't like the storylines that went through the past, that's what this is. But, I think it's neat. I think it'll be...
I think it's ambitious because, yeah, you have Tom Hanks, you have Halle Berry, you have the star power. But
yeah.
It's not a story people are familiar with. It's not something they can just look at and familiarize themselves with it. I just, for some reason have a feeling that when we look back at this season, that Cloud Atlas is going to be one of the glaring failures.
Well, that's one of those movies that I think it's either going, and there's really no middle ground for it. The people involved and the cost for that movie, you're not going to be able to say, well, it was all right. It's either going to be a bomb, like you're thinking, where it's not going to find the audience.
Or it's going to be successful.
Yeah, or it'll be a big hit. I don't think... A hit or a miss. That's really all for that one.
And just one more question before we wrap it up on here. This one might seem like an easy question, but what's the bigger hit? Rise of the Guardians or Wreck-It Ralph?
You know what? I'm probably going to say Rise of the Guardians.
Really? See, I think Wreck-It Ralph is the obvious answer there.
I don't think it's... I would like it to be the obvious answer. That's between the two.
I'm more excited about Rise of the Guardians.
Yeah, which is weird because I wouldn't see that for anything. But I think Wreck-It Ralph is going to be neat. I think Rise of the Guardians is going to be the movie that resonates more with the kids, whereas Wreck-It Ralph is still kind of... Yeah, it is still kind of a kid-friendly movie.
But it's got Disney behind it.
Right. I think they'll both make a lot of money. I guess I feel like between the two, despite what I'd like to see happen, I think that it'll be Rise of the Guardians.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
You know, we kind of breezed through it pretty quick there at the beginning, and a little bit here just a couple minutes ago about what's coming out in theaters this week. We mentioned that Limited Branded will be out this week. Also, Bachelorette, which, you know, Dave said is already available on VOD if you're into that. Also, Girl Model, which is on Wednesday. Hello, I Must Be Going. The Inbetweeners movie, Keep the Lights On, Las Acadias, Rec 3, and Toys in the Attic.
Yeah, and then in Wide, you got The Words and The Cold Light of Day. So it's kind of like a weekend off.
Yeah, I mean, I think even The Cold Light of Day is not a huge release.
Yeah, Bonnie and Stretch of the Imagination. Mid-wide release.
I want to say it's just over 2,000 screens. I don't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, I mean, The Words, I don't know.
Look good.
No, I don't think it. I don't think it looks terrible. It just doesn't look interesting.
But it also looks like I don't think the trailer is selling it well, because it looks like one of those that you go in and it's going to be completely different than the trailer sells it as. Because I just have a feeling it's not what the trailer is, because it looks like it's a hard story to sell.
The
because
trailer,
I,
looks,
I have no clue what the what it. I have no clue. You
the
know?
Trailer looks a little notebooky, I think. A
little bitty, yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like that's how they're presenting it, and whether or not it will end up being that or anything similar to that, you know, only time will tell. But neither of us will know, because I don't think either of us are going to go see it.
So we're going to take a week off from the over under on that.
Sounds good.
And speaking of week offs, this might be my last show for a while.
Maybe.
I got a baby on the way.
Really pregnant right now.
Yeah. If all goes well, we'll be having the baby next week when we should be recording, or we'll be really, really close. So I might be back next week. I might not. We're going to have a co-host join Ryan and fill in for me. And if I am here next week, we'll try to bring them in to kind of do it all.
We'll pass the torch.
Yeah. So I'll probably end up taking September off, but I'll be back for October or in late September. So yeah, keep it up and listening to Ryan, because it'll still be a good show.
Hopefully, yeah.
Even without my loving Anna Kendrick and stuff.
Yeah, I like her too. Not nearly as creepily as you do. So we'll see. Maybe that's going to be my co-host. Who knows? Maybe she finally got back to us on Twitter at Movies On Up. Maybe she wrote us an email at moviesonup@gmail.com. Or perhaps she just went to our website, moviesonup.com, clicked on the Facebook link, and maybe now, Movies On Up and Anna Kendrick, Facebook friends.
Yeah, like us on Facebook. We did get a new iTunes review, a recent one. It was a positive one.
Oh, that's good.
So if you go to iTunes, don't be afraid to leave us a review. And if you're gifted, we talked about at the beginning of the show, touch up our logo, please. Make it look good. Or if you have a better idea that looks better than what I've done, scribbledied, give us a logo. And we'll take a look at it. You can find me personally, even if I'm taking time off, at Dave Becella on Twitter, DaveBecella.com. I'll try to keep anything posted on there. And Eric and Dave, Talking with Eric and Dave, is my other show. We're going to bank a couple episodes, so there will still be some new stuff while I'm taking some time off. That's EricandDave.com, Eric with a K, and at Eric and Dave on Twitter.
You can find me personally, maybe Dave, because it will be the end of October, maybe Dave's new baby, who knows, on October the 25th, 8 o'clock, that's a Thursday if you're in the greater Youngstown area, and why wouldn't you be? We're going to be I'm going to be at Tinseltown, as they are doing the Riff Tracks version of the instant classic Birdemic. So if you're not doing anything the Thursday before Halloween, at 8 o'clock, that's where I'll be. You can check me out there. Until next week, maybe me, maybe Dave, maybe a mystery partner, maybe just Anna Kendrick, who knows. But in order to find out, you'll have to download us next week. Until then, keep it up.